In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's John 1, verses 1 through 3. Last time we were together, we looked at the first two of those verses, and today we're going to focus on the third verse, where the Apostle John says that the Word, capital W, is the Creator. Now, as you read through John chapter 1, you'll see that the Word is the same person as the Son of God and is the same person as Jesus. So we can say that Jesus, before he came as a man, is the Creator, because remember, Jesus is fully God, fully man. But we really can't talk about creation without talking about all three members of the Trinity. As the life giver, the Son does not act independently of the other members of the Godhead. You see, there's such unity among the Trinity that when one acts, they all act. What I'd like to do today is spend some time on the truth of the triune nature of God. I want to talk about the doctrine of the Trinity, and we're going to look at a number of passages that you may be familiar with, but you might not have noticed the Trinitarian nature of these passages. I fear that many Christians approach the doctrine of the Trinity with reluctance, and many Christians view the truth of the Trinity as really something not for them, but instead something for the theological brainiacs. I'm concerned that just some Christians say, no, the doctrine of the Trinity, that's really for the theologians who are up in the ivory tower thinking about the lofty things, the heady things. But, you know, that really doesn't have much to do with me, many Christians might say. I want to tell you, we should not think that way. We shouldn't think that the Trinity is for someone else. No. The Trinity is for us. It's for you. It's for me. You see, the Trinity is essential to who you are. It's essential to your creation. The Trinity is essential to the gospel message that you have believed in, that you've relied on. It's essential to your eternal life. It's essential to your access to God. It's essential to your ability to even perceive divine truth. It's essential to your spiritual life. And I hope to show you all of those things during our time together today. Now, let me say first, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. But that should not alarm us at all, because the word Bible is not found in the Bible. The word incarnation is not found in the Bible. Sometimes we use words that are not found in the Bible in order to communicate truths that are found in the Scriptures. And that's perfectly legitimate to do, as long as that word accurately reflects the truths that are found in the Word of God. And the word Trinity does exactly that. Trinity means, with respect to God, that God is one in essence, but made up of three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each member of the Godhead has the same divine nature, the same divine characteristics, the same divine essence. They are co-equal. They are co-eternal. And so we say that God is one in essence, and made up of three distinct persons. We also say that the members of the Godhead are one because they have perfect fellowship and union, perfect intimate fellowship, perfect unity of purpose and action, and this unity, this fellowship, has existed since eternity past. So a moment ago I said that the Trinity is essential to who you are. Let me start with your creation. You see, your creation is Trinitarian. The writer of the book of Hebrews begins the book of Hebrews declaring that. He begins in Hebrews 1:1 saying this, God, that's a reference to God the Father, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. So now we have a reference to God the Son. But remember, the Apostle John in the Gospel of John calls God the Son the Word of God. And we see this here in the book of Hebrews. The Father speaks through the Son, the Word of God. And so the Father reveals himself through God the Son. So let me read verse 2 again of Hebrews chapter 1. In these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he, the Father, appointed heir of all things, through whom also he, the Father, made the world. So the writer of Hebrews tells us that the Father made the world. The Father is the author of creation, in other words. And it's the Son who carries out the will of the Father, the plan of the Father. So the Son is the agent. God the Son is the agent of creation. And of course, the Holy Spirit is also integrally involved in creation. Remember back in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then Genesis 1 goes on with the creation account. The Hebrew word there for spirit can also mean wind or breath. And so you read in Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The book of Job is actually a little more specific about the spirit's role in creation. Job 33:4 reads like this, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. The point is this, your creation is Trinitarian, but not just that. The very gospel message, the good news in which you have believed, the good news that you have relied upon, the good news that you have put your trust in order for you to have access to God, that good news, the gospel, is Trinitarian. Romans, the book of Romans, begins with a Trinitarian description, very much like the book of Hebrews. Romans 1 begins like this. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, that's a reference to God the Father, which he, the Father, promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, there's God the Son of God, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, there's God the Holy Spirit. So right up front in the book of Romans, at the very beginning of the book, we get a Trinitarian declaration as to the gospel. Because verse 1 of Romans says that the gospel is of the Father. Verse 3 says that the gospel is about or concerning the Son. And verse 4 tells us that the gospel is according to or by the Spirit. You see, all three members of the Trinity are a part of the gospel message because the gospel is Trinitarian. Your eternal life is also Trinitarian. Remember, Jesus has this conversation with Nicodemus in John 3, and Jesus says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus starts off there with the Holy Spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. And then Jesus says in verse 13 of chapter 3, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. That's a title that Jesus used for himself. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. And then we get to that verse that we've heard many times before. For God, that's the Father, for God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So your eternal life is available because the Father gives his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for sinners. And the eternal life is received by being born of the Spirit, born again. And how does that happen? It happens when we believe in the Son, because our eternal life is Trinitarian. Our access to God is also Trinitarian. Paul says in Ephesians 2, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away. The he there is Jesus, the Son. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, through Jesus, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. There it is. The Son gives us access to the Father in or through the Spirit. And so our ability to perceive these things of God, your ability to understand the words that I am communicating today to you, our ability to read the Scripture and even understand it is Trinitarian. Look what Jesus said in John 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now he's speaking there to the disciples and to us by extension. And so we perceive divine truth because of the Trinity, because the Father sends the Holy Spirit in the name of the Son so that we can understand the words and the works of the living God. Now, finally, I want you to see how the spiritual life that we have, where we walk in the ways of God, is Trinitarian. Paul says in Ephesians 3, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he, it's a reference to the Father, that he, the Father, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. Now we have two members of the Trinity, in the inner man. So this is a reference to the empowerment that we receive by the indwelling of the Spirit, that we might walk in the ways of God. Then in verse 17, so that Christ, there's the Son, may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, there's understanding, with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Is that not an incredible phrase? Filled up to all the fullness of God. What does that involve? It involves each member of the Trinity indwelling us. It's not just the Spirit who indwells us. It's also the Father and the Son, that we might be enabled and motivated and empowered to serve God in a world that hates God, in a world that hates his ways and hates his word. You see, the Trinity is essential to who you are. It's essential to your creation, to the gospel message that you have believed in, to your eternal life, your access to God, your ability to understand the Word of God, and your spiritual life. These are just six divine truths about the Trinity. There are many more that are disclosed in the Scripture. You see, the Trinitarian nature of God, the triune nature of God, is not just for the theological brainiacs. It's for you and me. And so this is the background with which we read John chapter 1, verse 3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So the apostle there is telling us that Jesus is the agent of creation, acting along with the Spirit, doing the will of the Father. As the Word of God, capital W, Jesus reveals the will of the Father, and that's part of what creation is. Creation reveals the Father. So with this in mind, let's close in prayer, thanking God for what he has done for us. Father, we come to you as fallen, broken sinners in awe and wonder of what you have done for us. We thank you that you have saved us, that you have given us the gospel, that you have given us eternal life, that you make your divine truth understandable to us through each member of the Trinity. We praise you for that. We glorify you for that. And we make this prayer to you in the power of the Spirit and in the name of His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen.